Good morning and welcome to hour number two of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers, Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal, and Mike Pritchard's at the controls this morning. In this part of Focus 580, we will get back to a topic that we certainly have tried to talk about on and off on a fairly regular basis, and that is water. We've talked about it in a global sense and a national sense, and here this morning we want to talk about it in a regional sense. One of the things that we can say is that certainly compared with other parts in the country, to date, Illinois has had enough water to meet its current needs. However, the other thing that we know is that the demand from individuals, from agriculture, from industry, the demand for water continues to grow. And there is a real concern that if nothing changes, some parts of Illinois could actually, at some point here in the relatively near future, some parts of the state could actually face water shortages. This is something that people here in the state have been interested in, have been studying now for at least the last couple of years, going back to 2006, when the governor signed an executive order requiring the Department of Natural Resources to get involved in water planning activities. And we'll talk about that and how things are going this hour of Focus 580 with Derek Winstanley. He's the chief emeritus of the Illinois State Water Survey and has been with us before on the program. This is something we have done at least one time here over the last couple of years to try to talk about this effort and what it is we know about water here in the state of Illinois, how much we're using, and the importance of planning for the future. Questions are certainly welcome. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. At any point here, questions are welcome, and I know that our guest will do his best to give you an answer. Well, thanks very much for being here once again.
Thanks. I appreciate being here again. Enjoy it.
One of the things that I guess we've talked about now on and off over the past couple of years is this effort to answer what is a very basic question, and that is how much water on a daily basis here in the state of Illinois, how much water do we use? And there was a point at which it was difficult to answer a question like that. Maybe we don't have a complete answer now, but maybe we have a little bit better idea, particularly in two parts of the state, where we live and up in the northeastern part of the state. What can we say now as an answer to that question? Well, how much water do we use?
Well, for the state as a whole, we use about 15 or 16 billion gallons of water per day. That's a terrific, huge number. But about 80% of that is actually used for cooling purposes in producing electricity, in power generation. And probably 97, 98% of that water is actually recycled and used again. So for public water supplies, commerce and industry, agriculture and irrigation, we use several billion gallons of water per day for the whole state.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some sense of how demand for water, how the use of water has gone up over time?
We have reasonably good data going back 20 years or so on water use, and it's definitely increased significantly over that 20-year period. The average person uses a significant amount of water each day depending upon which part of the state he lives in. Mm-hmm. And part of the water use, of course, is for domestic residential water use. And the other water is used for commerce and industry and agriculture and irrigation and so on. So if you add those all together, in northeast Illinois, the average person uses about 170 gallons of water per day. Interestingly, in east central Illinois, that figure is about double. The average person uses about 340 gallons of water per day. Now, the reason for the difference is primarily due to the fact that much more water is used for agriculture and also for commerce and industry per person here in east central Illinois. Of course, the total quantities used for irrigation and commerce and industry are high in northeast Illinois, but the population is much larger.
Mm-hmm.
So on a per capita basis, the average person in the 15-county area in east central Illinois uses about 340 gallons of water per day.
Yeah. So that's just a simple matter of taking the water use and dividing it by the number of people.
Correct.
And coming up with a number like that. If you would just look at, say, an average household and look at the amount of water that they would use in bathing and washing clothes and drinking and flushing mm-hmm. the toilet and all the things, that kind of water use, do you know what that number would be?
The estimated figure we use for average per person consumption in people on their own self-supplied domestic wells, for example, so mm-hmm. there's no commerce or industry involved, just for domestic purposes, is about 82 gallons per person per day.
Yeah. That's still a lot of water. I think perhaps people would be surprised. I expect people would be surprised to learn how much water as an individual or their household they would use every day.
Yeah, I think obviously most people just take it for granted. You turn on the faucet and out comes the water. And if you're doing certain tasks in the kitchen or in the bathroom, a lot of people, I think, just tend to leave the faucet running. Of course, a good conservation measure is to turn the tap on and off as you're doing your various tasks, and you'd be amazed how much water you can actually conserve.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about what we know about water needs or water use now. And the fact that that certainly has increased. The trend is we're using more water than we used to. Now we're thinking about this time horizon going out several decades. Is it possible to project how much water we would be using, let us say, 10 years from now or 20 years from now?
It is. I need to give you a little bit of background. First of all, in looking to the future, and we've set ourselves a time horizon of 2050, mm-hmm. a couple of generations ahead. And we know that predicting the future or projecting or forecasting the future decades ahead is highly uncertain, whether you're dealing with climate change or water use or gasoline use or any of those. So the approach we've taken is to construct a number of what we call scenarios. So we make a certain number of assumptions on the factors that influence per capita water use, such as income, the price of water, temperature, employment, and so on, and make assumptions about how those might change in the future, and then correlate that with per capita water use. So we can come out with a range of scenarios of water demand out to 2050. So we've actually now got two new reports in the last couple of months, one for Northeast Illinois and one for East Central Illinois, on how much water might be needed out to 2050 in those two regions. And these have been prepared by, in Northeast Illinois, by Professor Ben Jugalewski and Dr. Chowdhury at Southern Illinois University, who are world-class experts in doing this sort of analysis. Mm-hmm. And for East Central Illinois, the analysis has been done by Whitman Hydro Planning and, again, by Dr. Jugalewski. So we now have scenarios of how much water we might need, three scenarios for each region, a sort of a low-demand scenario, a middle-of-the-road scenario, and a higher-demand scenario. And on top of those, we've analyzed what impact climate change might have on how much water might be needed. Mm-hmm. And the range of future climate conditions that we've taken into account have been derived from looking at more than 100 global model outputs and asking what those models have to say about the climate specifically for Illinois. So we're not talking about global average figures, but what might actually happen here in Illinois. And the range of possible climate changes are large. If you take the assumption that temperature may not change, but precipitation might increase a couple of inches, then that could actually lead to a small decrease in water use. But on the other hand, if you take the scenario where temperature might increase by 6 degrees Fahrenheit by 2050 and combine that with a scenario that precipitation might decrease by 3.5 inches, then you come up with a conclusion that you might need 10, 12, 13% more water because of climate change. So you would have to add those additional demands within that climate change scenario range on top of the scenarios derived from economic and social factors. Mm-hmm. So let me give you a summary of what the main findings are. First of all, in Northeast Illinois, 11-county area in the greater Chicago metropolitan area. The current population up in northeast Illinois, in those 11 counties, is 8.7 million. And the average per capita water use for public water supplies, commerce and industry, agriculture and irrigation, and domestic use is about 170 gallons per person per day. So the total water withdrawn on an average day in northeast Illinois for those purposes is 1,400 million gallons of water per day. That's 1.4 billion gallons of water per day. Now, let me try to do a little bit of translation here. I know most people probably don't have a good sense of what 1 million gallons of water means. So I've tried to translate that into another unit of measurement, the swimming pool. So if you consider a swimming pool 30 feet wide, 60 feet long, sloping down from 3 feet to 9 feet deep with an average depth of 6 feet, that swimming pool would take about 90,000 gallons of water to fill. So 11 swimming pools would be equivalent to 1 million gallons of water per day. So in northeast Illinois, for that 1.4 billion gallons of water per day, that would be the equivalent to about filling 15,400 swimming pools per day.
Okay.
Now, that's the current.
That's what we're doing right now.
That's the baseline, okay. 2005. So then the results of these analyses that have been conducted, using official population projections for the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, CMAP, show that population in the 11-county region in northeast Illinois is expected to increase by 39% out to 2050. So it would increase from 8.7 million to 12.1 million. So if you assume that the amount of water used per person stays constant, then the amount of water needed would increase by 39%. So it would be extremely difficult to try and suggest controlling population as a way of controlling water use. So what we do is trying to look at the factors that might change per capita water use, such as the factors that I've mentioned, income, price of water, temperature, employment, and so on. So we come up with a range of water demand scenarios out to 2050 where we change per capita water use, first of all, by decreasing it by 20%, secondly, by keeping it fairly constant, and thirdly, by increasing it about 20%. And if you add to that the range of influence of possible climate change, which might be from requiring 2% less water up to requiring 11% more water, and add all that up together, then by the year 2050, you come up with a range of possible additional water needs of between plus 8% and plus 70%. So let me translate that into the amount of water needed and the number of swimming pools again. So an 8% increase would mean that we would need an additional about 110 million gallons of water per day. And if it increased by up to 70%, you would need an additional 1,000 million or 1 billion gallons of water per day. So translating those numbers into number of swimming pools, you would need between a range of 1,200 to 11,000 additional swimming pools per day. So we're talking about some very large numbers in additional amounts of water that are needed in northeast Illinois. Currently, most of the water, about 70% of the water used, and what I'm talking about here doesn't include water for electric power generation. As I said, most of that is recycled, so we're considering everything else but water for power generation. Major sources of all that other water in northeast Illinois is about 70% from Lake Michigan, 16% from the aquifers as groundwater, and about 14% from rivers like the Fox River and the Kankakee River. So when we're talking about somewhere in a range of additional water needs of between 110 and 1 billion gallons of water per day, that would be a huge amount of water to provide from those identified sources. The strategy that the Regional Water Supply Planning Committee is adopting, and this has been facilitated in, under the auspices of the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, is initially seeing those figures before they even see how much water we might have. Just looking at the water demand figures, they've quickly jumped into a strategy of adopting water conservation measures.
Well, you know, one wonders just how much you could reduce that potential future demand by all of the things that we would know about, trying to get people to use water more efficiency, water less, get low-flow shower heads, go get toilets that use the smallest amount of water. You know, for individuals, everything that you could possibly tell them to do. And I'm sure that there are equivalent things that industry can do in terms of updating its methods and equipment and so forth. We know that if there's going to be that kind of population growth, there's going to have to be growth in demand. There's no way around it. But that, how much do you think the amount of water that's going to be needed could actually be reduced by by conservation?
Before I talk about conservation, let me talk about the other factors that were identified in this analysis as being the major contributors to variations in per capita water demand. Median household income, how much money the average household brings in. Typically, the more money brought in, the more ability you have to pay for water and gasoline and everything else, of course. So with an increase in income, you generally expect to see an increase in water demand. So I've done some analysis and asked what it would take to reduce per capita water demand by, say, 20%. Mm-hmm. You could do that by increasing household income by about 62% in real terms. That's after inflation. That's just a huge increase. You could also get a 20% increase in per capita water demand by increasing the price of water by about 90%. And, of course, these are matters that have great social and economic implications. Yeah. You could also achieve a 20% reduction in per capita water use by reducing the employment to population ratio, i.e. reducing employment by 31%. Again, not something that you would probably want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And you would also see about a 20% drop in per capita daily water use by if temperature increases by 11 degrees Fahrenheit. So, again, it's not a strategy you want to promote. So that leaves the question that you asked of what can be achieved through conservation. In the analysis that was conducted, we looked at the evidence for a water conservation signal in the data, the historical data over the last 20 years. And the analysts concluded that there was indeed a small water conservation trend. So if you continued that trend and multiplied it by hundreds and hundreds of percent, you could have a 20% decrease in water use. Mm-hmm. But there's going to have to be some major, major changes in how we conserve water and reduce water and perhaps even reuse water in order to achieve a substantial decrease in total water demands, given the fact that population is likely to increase by about 39%.
Yeah. You know, here, for example, where we live, one of the things that we know is that we're looking at an increase in the rate in what we pay for water. Our water company has applied for, and apparently that's going to happen. And I believe it was 47% increase in water rates. And I think that, you know, you said one of the things that would have an effect on how much water people used is how much it costs. And if you really jacked up the rates, they would end up using less.
Right.
And I think that we might not like it, but I think that it's realistic to expect that over time, the cost of water, even if we do nothing, the cost of water is going to continue to go up, that we should expect 10 years from now that we're going to be paying more and maybe more after that. Is there some sort of projection that you think actually you feel is fairly reliable that says what we would expect to be over time, what we would expect to be paying for water, or how much more we'd expect to be paying for water than we are now?
No, I mean, Illinois American submitted their claim for increasing the water fees based upon the necessity of paying for the additional infrastructure needed for the new water treatment plant and the new regional water well field. So most of the increases are going to be sunk in capital expenses. So unless you can project those capital expenses in the future, it's difficult to do that. On the other hand, if you want to use if you want to change price as a tool in trying to reduce demand, then you can certainly do some analyses of what might what it might take. Using the sensitivity figures in the East Central Illinois demand report, I just done a quick calculation, and the 46% increase in price, 46-47% increase in price by Illinois American, that may translate into a decreased water demand of perhaps 10%. So it may have some beneficial aspects to it.
Yeah.
But, of course, if you start decreasing water demand and water usage, then I'm sure water companies will want to take a fresh look at their rate structures.
Sure.
So it becomes a very complicated issue.
Sure. Our guest in this hour of Focus 580 is Derek Winstanley. He's the Chief Emeritus of the Illinois State Water Survey. And we're here talking about water. Water usage in the state of Illinois, what we know about how much water we're using today, the projections, what we think we might, how much water we think we might be using decades from now, and how we should think about meeting that future need. Questions are welcome, 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. We do have some callers here, so let's talk with someone in our area here in Champaign-Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Could using rainwater for watering yards and gardens make a perceptible difference in water demand?
Yes, it could. If you look at the average amount of water used per household per day, there are several large components to that. One is, of course, flushing the toilet. The other is taking a shower or a bath. And the third is using water outside to irrigate your yard and washing the car. So if you reduce the use of water from public water supplies for fulfilling any of those needs, it will be definitely advantageous.
Thank you.
All right. Another caller here, line number two.
Yes. I was watching, I think, National Geographic, and, you know, of course, agriculture in this country uses a lot of water. But the principal non-agricultural use of water, I believe, was golf courses. Is that correct? Or, and if that's the case, I'd like to see people golf on a few lush golf courses.
No, the major non-agricultural uses of water in East Central Illinois, for example, would be public water supply for domestic use, water for commerce and industry. Golf courses are a relatively small user of water compared with all the other major users, several percent. They're not a major user. Of course, if we're talking about trying to reduce overall demand, then any reductions in water withdrawals that can be made from any user all add up to a significant decrease in the overall total. But here,
all right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else you were going to add?
I'll just talk a little bit more about agriculture and irrigation, particularly here in East Central Illinois. I mentioned earlier the higher use of water for irrigation in East Central Illinois is one of the main reasons that per capita water use is much higher than in Northeast Illinois. And of course, farmers don't irrigate all of the fields over the whole of the 15-county area in East Central Illinois. It's heavily focused on Mason and Tazewell counties along by the Illinois River. So we need to understand the regional differences, even within one of the major regions of Illinois, like East Central Illinois. There are sub-regional differences that need to be understood, and particularly in developing management strategies, all these major differences have to be acknowledged. And the reason that so much more water is used in Mason and Tazewell counties than the other counties is that the sand there is extremely porous. The sand comes right up to the surface. The Mahomet Aquifer that is a couple of hundred feet below the surface in, say, Champaign County, comes right up to the surface in Mason Tazewell counties. So the rainfall infiltrates much faster, so it doesn't hold the water in the soil. So the farmers have an economic benefit by applying irrigated water. And, of course, the same structure of the soil means that the water recharge rate is much higher in that region than in Champaign County. Mm-hmm. So they're using a lot more, but it's recharging a lot faster too. But they're using tremendous amounts of water in Mason-Tazewell counties. In 2005, in the drought, they used over 200 million gallons of water per day just in those two counties. And in the peak month of July, they used almost 1 billion gallons of water per day.
Yeah.
But you can't just throw those numbers out. As I say, you have to understand that the structure of the aquifers are very different in one part of the region to another.
Just to go back here, and if I wrote these down correctly, you were talking about the numbers for northeastern Illinois. The estimate was that out to 2050, the demand for water could go up anywhere between 8% and 70%.
Correct, yes.
So we're talking about anything between 110 million gallons of water a day and a billion gallons of water a day. So
additional.
Over what we're using
right
now. So that's a big spread. But even if you picked a number sort of somewhere in the middle there
right,
that's a lot.
Right.
Is it and they're getting most of their water from Lake Michigan, but also do depend on some surface water and some groundwater. They're like about 30%. Well, I guess that would be 30%, wouldn't it? 70%
right
from the lake, 30% from groundwater and from surface water. So when you look at it, even if you pick a middle number in there, that's a lot over what over demand today. Is that sustainable? I mean, is it actually possible to meet? Even if you pick a number sort of on the low side, you know, say, oh, only another 110 million mm-hmm gallons a day, is it actually possible to meet that need?
Well, I'm glad you used the term sustainable. I would ask you, can you define the word sustainable for me? And then I can answer your question. without putting you on the spot, you've asked the real tough question.
Yeah.
Sustainability means different things to different people. I mean, the simple concept is taking care of future generations as well as the current generations and making sure that economic and social values are balanced against environmental values and concerns. So part of the planning exercise that we're engaged in both regions, I think one of the key challenges to both regional groups will be, in fact, come to an operational definition of the term sustainability. Mm-hmm. But in Northeast Illinois, although we live right by the side of one of the greatest freshwater sources in the world, Lake Michigan, I think I mentioned in a previous session that the amount of water that we can take from the lake is capped by Supreme Court decree to just over 2 billion gallons of water per day for all uses, some of which is navigation and ecosystem control and so on. But we can't take any more water from Lake Michigan. They've done a lot in recent years, in Chicago particularly, to increase conservation measures and meter water, which was never done before, to replace old pipes and so on, to reduce losses. So I think there's a lot of potential for providing more water to serve the people who are currently served within the Lake Michigan service area, and maybe provide water to some of the outside communities outside the current service area. But that analysis on how much additional water from Lake Michigan may be available to service the area outside the current service area has not yet been done. Mm. So we certainly need to look and ask the question of how much water can we safely take from the shallow aquifers, the deep aquifers, and other rivers like the Kankakee and the Fox. So part of the next step in all this analysis is for the Geological Survey and the Water Survey scientists and engineers to do a supply analysis. We've been talking about water demand. We're also analyzing how much water might be available, and in particular, what the impacts would be of withdrawing water to meet those specified demands. And then it will be up to the regional water supply planning groups to say whether or not whether the impacts are acceptable or not. It's going to be a real challenge. But this is really the importance of regional water supply planning in this detail that we're doing it. We're looking at supply and demand and the balance between the two. And from that, we'll be able to determine whether in some areas perhaps things look reasonably okay and we don't have to worry too much. But in air, we do expect to identify a lot of hotspots, problem areas. And those are the ones that the regional planning groups will have to focus on.
Yeah. I have some callers here. I hope they won't mind if I ask them to wait just one more moment, because something I want to make sure that we talk about. We've now, for around this time of the year, at least in the summer, for several years now, we've had this conversation. And one of the things that we've talked about is this very large effort to study water demand in the state of Illinois, and about the fact that back in 2006, the governor said, look, this is important, we need to do this, and decided to put some money into that. And that's why it is we have these kind of numbers that we have for northeastern Illinois and for east central Illinois. What's happened to that effort and to the money that's been that had been pledged to continue to fund this study?
Well, we were all extremely pleased at the start of 2006 when the governor signed an executive order requiring these studies to be done for 3 years and made a commitment to provide about $5 million of funding spread over the 3 years to the scientific surveys and to fund each one of the regional planning groups that I mentioned in northeast Illinois and east central Illinois. And over the last 2 years, we have made tremendous progress. As you can see now, we have these water demand reports for the first time, how much water might be needed. And the water survey and the geological survey are working on these supply reports. But now we find in this new fiscal year that the governor has slashed the funding for this study to complete the third year. So we're needing about $2 million to complete this study. And without that, it's very much in limbo at the moment. We don't have any identified sources of funding. And it could all just fall through to nothing unless there's a sustained effort to try and get continuation of funding for another 12 months. And given the high priority which the governor himself had attached to the issue of providing good water supplies to help support public health and welfare, economic development, and environmental protection, we're all extremely disappointed that we now find ourselves in this situation.
If there was, say, no money forthcoming this year, but perhaps, say, in the next year, in fiscal, because that would be fiscal 2010, would it be easy just to go back and pick up the work, or would that be a problem?
It would be a problem. I mean, we hire and employ good scientists at the surveys based upon commitment to funding. Some of them don't know whether they're going to be funded next week or not. You can't expect them to stay around. They have the resumes out. They're looking for new, better opportunities. And we have, obviously, some top-class scientists and engineers. And you cannot just have a hiatus in the funding and continue things. We could certainly limp along and do some things for the next 12 months in the hope that funding will be picked up again. But we certainly would lose a lot of momentum.
Our guest for this hour of Focus 580 is Derek Winstanley. He is the Chief Emeritus of the Illinois State Water Survey. And we're talking about water in Illinois, and we have some callers, and they've been patient, so we want to get right to them and get in some more questions. And they're all here where we are in Champaign-Urbana. The next person in line is on line number 3, right here. Hello.
Hi. I did a study on waterless urinals, and we're going to use them army-wide. But they're prohibited in the state of Illinois because of the plumbing code.
What? I'm sorry. You're saying
waterless urinals.
Waterless urinals that do not use
urinals,
what?
Okay. They have a trap with blue liquid, like corn syrup, in it, so it floats and the urine goes down.
Uh-huh.
They estimate they save 40,000 gallons a year for one of them. You do your calculations based on the number of uses per day. They're used all over the West. They're in the Rose Bowl. Yet the state prohibits them. I think it's a plumbing code or plumbing union kind of dispute or something. But that seems to me like that would be a good way to save a lot of water. And I was wondering, when you talk to all these regional planners, if you can think about changing plumbing codes, you'd probably save a lot more water.
Yes, I agree. Certainly in Northeast Illinois, under the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, there's a lot of discussion going on at the moment about detailed strategies that could be implemented to reduce water use and water demand. And I'm sure a consideration of plumbing codes and ordinances is certainly some of the considerations that they're thinking about. There are some very sensitive social issues, too, associated with some of these technologies. The reuse of water, gray water, as it's called, some people have a great aversion to thinking about reusing water, even though it's cleaned up to drinking water standards. So I think a lot has to be overcome with social acceptance and social attitudes to overcome some of these problems. But we need to continue working on them.
Well, thank you for your work. I'm glad this is a big problem. I hope you guys get funded to finish it up.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's go on here to next line number one. And this is a caller in Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you again for the wonderful program. I have two points. One is a practice and one is a concern. And the practice falls right on the heels of your comment about gray water. We do a simple thing in our home. We keep a couple of buckets in the shower. And when we've always been concerned about the water that just rolls down the drain for no good reason, so we collect that water, and we flush our toilet with it. And we call them free flushes, and it works great, and it's really simple, and it doesn't really bother anybody. When we have company, people can flush. But when we're by ourselves, that's how we manage it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy. The second is a concern. Most public places I've been, restaurants, schools, when one goes into the restrooms, there's usually at least one tap that's leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read some kind of statistic about the enormity of the water that's lost through leaks, and then that doesn't even begin to count what happens in our own homes with leakage. It seems that if there could be a fine on rental property owners and restaurants, I don't know, schools can bear no more fine.
Mm-hmm.
Schools can't afford anything. But it's a big problem, as I see it. And running toilets, it's everywhere. And I think a continual leak might even use more than normal water usage in a week's time. I don't know how that breaks down, but it's, to me, it's a big deal. That's it.
Yes, certainly pleased to hear that you're initiating some very constructive measures in your own home to conserve water. On the issue of leakages, it is a big problem. If you take a typical utility supplying water to the public, quite often the amount of water that's lost varies between 8 and 15, maybe even up to 20% of the total water that's pumped. It's a large amount, and a lot can be done to reduce that amount of leakage. In Chicago, I mentioned that they have, in recent years, replaced many, many miles of old water distribution systems.
Yes.
They started metering the water, which was never done before. So a lot can be done to reduce leakage and reduce waste. Interestingly, one of the issues with urbanization and paving over rural areas with concrete and asphalt is whether or not that reduces recharge to the aquifers below. And most of the scientific studies I've seen on that subject from different countries in different parts of the world conclude that there's probably not sufficient evidence to show that. And the main reason is that there's so much leakage from the water distribution systems that it's compensating for the increased amount of asphalt and concrete over the area. So a lot can be done to reduce leakage and wastage, and I'm sure the two regional planning groups will consider that in their recommendations.
Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Another caller here. This would be line number three, and this is Champagne. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes.
Hello.
With the development of our corn-based ethanol industry, in addition to the excessive waste of heat used, how does the water use of that and the dispersing of the dirtied and overheated water affect our water supply?
Good questions. The processes used in producing ethanol vary from one plant to another, and they're also generally decreasing over time. It used to take about 6 gallons of water to produce a gallon of ethanol. That's down to around 4, in some cases perhaps 3 gallons of water to produce a gallon of ethanol now. So a typical ethanol plant might consume, might withdraw and use perhaps 1 million, 1.5 million gallons of water per day. That sounds like a large number, but I always put it, trying to put it in the perspective of any other user of water. If you're an aquifer and someone is withdrawing water from you, you don't know any difference between water being withdrawn for an ethanol plant or for any other industry or commerce or irrigation or domestic use. So I think the best comparison is to put 1.5 million gallons of water per day, for example, in the context of 1.5 million gallons of water that may be used for any other purpose.
But isn't the wastewater from that a greater problem than the water withdrawn from the system?
All wastewater, whether it's used for ethanol production or used in domestic systems, of course, has to be treated, and there has to be a discharge permit obtained from the Environmental Protection Agency.
I've heard very little about that.
Yes, but that is...
Especially with our local production units.
You cannot discharge large amounts of water into rivers and streams without obtaining discharge permits.
How about the milk factories, like the one north of Mahomet?
All of them require discharge permits. They have to meet specified water quality standards.
Does that mean that they're run through a water treatment plant or something other?
If the quality of the water after after it's being used hasn't been disrupted sufficiently to be a water quality problem, if it's still within the water quality standards, then you don't have to treat it. But whatever water is being discharged, however it's being used, has to meet water quality standards.
Does it?
Well, that's up to the Environmental Protection Agency to monitor
you're with the Water Survey, so you might know.
We leave that to Environmental Protection Agency.
No, thank God. It's like trusting the government, isn't it?
It is.
All right, well, thank you. We got another caller here. This is Champagne Line number 2. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Throughout this conversation, I have been thinking and been able to answer my question about whether water is really lost. And it seems like part of what you're talking about in all this manipulation of water is perhaps the use of other resources, fuels and things like that, to energize the reprocessing of the water. But you mentioned something about an aquifer a minute ago and taking water out of it. Is there some sort of simple way of calculating how much of the water that's pumped out of the aquifer gets back into the aquifer by after treatment? Or does some of the water that's used while it's above ground get shifted to other areas?
You've put your finger on a very complex question, one that we're not able to quantify in detail at the moment, but I'll give you some examples. Illinois American Water, for example, withdraw over 20 million gallons of water per day on average from the Mahomet Aquifer here near Champaign. After that is distributed and used, it is treated, and most of it's returned to surface waters, to the Kaskaskia River, after treatment again, of course. It has to meet these water quality standards. So quite often, particularly when you're taking water from an aquifer, it does not go back into the aquifer at all. It goes quite often into surface waters. When water is used for irrigation, for example, in Mason, Tazewell counties, a lot of the water that's taken out of the aquifer, of course, goes into the soil and is taken up by the plants and evaporated into the atmosphere. Some of the water that's applied as irrigation, and again, we don't have a good figure on this, but probably does go back and recharge that aquifer in those counties. So the answer is it depends on the particular water use and how it's discharged and lost. But what we're doing every time we withdraw water is disrupting, to some extent, the natural water cycle.
There's probably no simple answer to this, but how long does it take for water that stays basically in the same place to penetrate back into an aquifer?
Again, that varies depending upon the characteristics of the aquifer. In Mason Tazewell counties, where the Muhammad Aquifer comes right up to the surface, it's a very, very fast recharge. Uh-huh. In Champaign County, where the Muhammad Aquifer is 100 to 200 feet below the surface, it probably takes maybe 3,000 years. So it's essentially fossil water. It varies dramatically according to the characteristics of the aquifer.
Thanks for a very enlightening program.
All right, thanks for the call. Well, that particularly when it comes to East Central Illinois, where and us, say, here in Champaign-Urbana, where we're drawing our water from the Muhammad Aquifer, are we withdrawing water faster than it's being recharged? And is there some danger that we're drawing down the aquifer to the point where we're actually going to start to drain it more quickly than nature can put water back in?
Every time we withdraw large amounts of water from an aquifer, we create what's called a cone of depression. The water level in a well above the aquifer starts decreasing. And if you map out that decrease in what we call head above the top of the aquifer, you can map out a cone of depression. And the greatest reduction in the head is right at the center where the water is pumped out. So around Champaign-Urbana, with pumping, Illinois American pumps about 23 million gallons of water per day. There's an additional 10 million gallons or so pumped within Champaign County for other purposes by other users. So we're pumping over 30 million gallons of water per day. The cone of depression extends probably 30, 40 miles out, shallower at those extremities, and deeper right around Champaign-Urbana. So the study that was done for Illinois American before they funded their new wellfield project, in which they intend to extract an additional 16 million gallons of water per day, showed that if you extract 16 million gallons, additional gallons of water per day, the head of the water column would still be above the top of the aquifer in about 30 years or so. But they did not account for any additional water withdrawals by other users. So they concluded that their withdrawals were sustainable. What we're doing in the exercise that we're engaged in now is to look at all water withdrawals and look at all the impacts, the cumulative impacts of all those withdrawals. It's everyone pulling water out together that creates problems, not just one user.
Mm-hmm. Well, that I think we're coming down to the point here. We have a minute or two left, and I think that maybe one point we could make here at the end is that it is up to, and you correct me if I don't have this quite right, but that it's up to all of the users of the water, the people who are drawing on the resource, to decide how that resource is going to be used. I mean, the ideal thing would be for everyone to sit down and say, this is how much we're using, this is how much we think we're going to need, this is how much we're going to partition it out, and figure out how, again, to use that word, in a sustainable way, they try to use that resource. Otherwise, there's really it really has to be a kind of a voluntary decision about how the resource is going to be used by all of the users.
That's an extremely important point, and one that we fully recognize is going to be the success basis for regional water planning. Previous efforts at water planning have primarily been state-driven, top-down, and we know from experience in Illinois and other states that it does not work. This is why with this regional water planning effort that's now underway for the past 2 years, it's a grassroots-level effort with representatives of constituents from environmental groups, utilities, industry, so on each one of the groups. It's a locally driven exercise, and it's in their own interest to look at the future of the water supplies. And this is why it's extremely important to keep this effort going, because it's the first time we've put it in place, and to see it fall apart now because of a lack of $2 million funding will be disastrous for the state.
Yeah. If people are interested in this kind of information, the information you gave earlier about what we have discovered about water use for the northeastern part of the state, there's also similar information for our part of the state.
Yes.
And a lot that and other information on this subject, maybe the easiest thing to do for people would be to go to the website of the Water Survey. And I think all that's available there for anybody to read.
Yes, if you go under our main website and look under water supply, you'll find a lot of information there.
So certainly people are interested in what's going on here in our particular area. And in the same, we didn't get around to giving those numbers, but essentially one of the things that we know is that as in the northern part of the state, if we look out several decades, we're expecting that water demand for our part of the state is expected to go up too. And I'm sure that there's, again, a big spread, but we're expecting that it's going to be significant. And I think probably here for us, the big concern would be that most people in the central part of the state, or at least in East Central Illinois, are drawing on groundwater. And it's putting a lot of pressure, has the potential to put a lot of pressure on that resource. And as we've explained, you know, it's not the thing that gets easily or quickly recharged if you draw it down.
Right. There's a tremendous learning opportunity for everybody here. And I think the more people understand the nature of the resources we're dealing with, the more involved they can be with the decision-making process. And I would encourage everyone to contact the representatives of these various interest groups on the two local committees.
Yeah, and again, if you want to find out more about this, a good thing to do would be go to the website of the Illinois State Water Survey and look for information on this and a lot of other information there having to do with water issues. Our guest this morning is the Chief Emeritus of the Illinois State Water Survey, Derek Winstanley. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Enjoy being with you again.